Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. I am Guy Bauer, and I am glad that you're listening. All you got to do is set an alarm for every Saturday. We're live at 12:05. Set it for noon. You can listen in your car. You can listen anywhere on your smart device. And after the fact, you can get podcasts. KNSSradio.com, upper right-hand corner, and you'll figure it out from there. We're talking about a really fun book. It's called Let's Bake, Over 100 Dessert Recipes for Gifting and Giving. My guest, Gail Sweeney, put it together. She's an avid baker, and that was so nice, what you did, Gail, during COVID with the kids and letting them bake stuff. Not only is it fun and they love to eat it, but they probably learned something along the way.
Well, I hope they learned something. I had a lot of students from different countries, and they'd send the recipes home to their parents. And I loved that part because a lot of them were trying something that they've never had before. Yeah. So, you know, that was very cool.
I'll bet. I mentioned that baking is kind of more science than art, although it is art. And, God, when you look at the pictures in your book, you know that that's true. Talk about the first section, from reading recipes to ingredients, substitutions, things that you ought to have in your kitchen, tools that you can use. Talk about some of those things that you think are the most important.
Well, I think one of the most, the longest thing that took me the longest time was how to make a good pastry, and I dreaded having to make pastry or even to try it. And what I learned about pastry is, I mean, it's a simple thing. It's flour and water and either butter or lard, your preference. Three ingredients. How do you mess that up? But you do. And what I learned about pastry is you touch it as least as possible. So I do it in a food processor. I just put the flour in. I put chunks of butter in. I whirl it until it barely comes together. Then I put a bit of water in, maybe a quarter cup, whirl it again, and then I just knead it on a piece of parchment paper until I've got two balls of dough, basically. And I refrigerate it. And that's the whole thing about pastry. You just can't keep working it, or it becomes like, I know we've all had this. You buy a pie at the grocery store, and the pastry tastes rubbery. You know, it just doesn't taste flaky. It doesn't taste good. That's because they've used huge machines to make their dough, and they've overworked the dough. And so that's the advice I'd give, and just try it out, you know. Try it out in your food processor. If you don't have a food processor, put it in a bowl. Work it with your hands. I'm a big hands-on person. Don't bother with the spoon. Go right in there. And just as it comes together, that's it. You've got your dough. Make it into two balls and refrigerate it for at least an hour. So, you know, another thing is things will only taste as good as your ingredients. So if you buy waxy chocolate chips and you put them in a chocolate chip recipe, the cookies are going to taste a little bit like maybe you've used an inferior chocolate. And I use very good chocolate in my chocolate chip cookies, and the reason is it's celebratory. I'm not going to stuff my face with chocolate chip cookies every day, although, you know, I'm tempted. And I think, you know, you can get Belgian chocolate chips, like Calibo chocolate chips. You can order them from Costco and Amazon now. It's no biggie. And they don't cost much more than going to the grocery store and getting Chippets or whatever, Hershey's or whatever brand. Not that I have anything against them. You can still make a fair cookie, but it's just a little tip. Go for the good chocolate when you're putting chocolate in something. And you can scrimp in other ways. You know, they always say when you bake, you don't use salted butter. Salted butter is way cheaper than non-salted butter. Salted butter lasts a long time in your fridge. I always use salted butter. Just cut down on the salt in the recipe. So, you know, common substitutions. Often a recipe will call for buttermilk. Well, you don't have buttermilk, you know. So you take a cup of milk and you put a teaspoon of lemon juice in it. You stir it around and you let it sit for 20 minutes. That's buttermilk. That's the substitute. Also, things like creme fraiche, you know, it's very kind of in now to decorate things with things like creme fraiche or Devonshire cream. Well, if you put a tablespoon of sugar in sour cream and you mix it around, that's creme fraiche. So it tastes almost exactly the same. So do it. You use these substitutions that make your life easier. Eggs, room temperature eggs. A lot of people are, well, I don't know. Do I have to put my eggs on my counter for 4 hours to get a room temperature egg? No, you just put it in a bowl, run hot water over it for 2 minutes, leave it in the hot water for 2 minutes, and you've got room temperature eggs. So these are kind of things that I use to make my life easier when I'm cooking. I don't use tons of bowls when I'm baking. I mix my flour on a piece of parchment paper and with a whisk, and I just pick up the parchment paper and I add it to the other bowl of ingredients. Hmm. So that's sort of handy as well.
Yeah. What about measuring? You know, I mentioned that. I know that I've considered the differences, and I always said I'm going to experiment and see, but, you know, 16 ounces in a measuring cup versus 16 ounces on a digital weight scale can be different, and measuring cups are different. And what do you like to use?
I'm old school and new school at the same time. It depends on the recipe. I find that, you know, the tin measuring cups that you buy, they're pretty accurate, actually. The plastic ones you get at the dollar store, not so much. So, but, you know, Bulk Barn will sell you a good measuring cup. Or any kind of food store will sell you a set of good measuring cups, and they're accurate. But what I do is, for the most part, when I'm doing cookies and I'm doing my chocolate cake, which is a no-fail, I just scoop up the flour. Like, I loosen up the flour in the bag first, then just lightly scoop it, level it off, that's a cup. Now, if I'm dealing with something trickier like French macaron or a flourless, I don't know, tort, and I need the exact amount of cocoa, sometimes I'll put that on a digital scale and measure it. So it depends on how fine you need the ingredients to be.
Yeah. So when we think of tools that are appropriate for in the kitchen for baking, the recipes in this cool book, Let's Bake, you mentioned a weight scale, maybe it's some decent quality measuring cups. And my wife loves her KitchenAid stand mixer.
Oh, my gosh. Changed my life. You know, in a busy world where you have kids running around and then you're working from home, and but you've decided to put in, make some muffins while you're working from home and maybe while you're on a Zoom call even. A stand mixer does the work for you. You can walk away from it, and it will mix all your ingredients while you're on the phone. So having a stand mixer was just such a time saver. because you don't have to be holding the mixer in your hand. You can be doing other things, and they're powerful. You can actually do double batches. And I believe that if you're in the kitchen and you're going to make a cookie, don't just make 12. Make them and freeze them. Because, you know, if you never want to lose your day job, bring homemade cookies to work.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and my wife is so good about that. I love her, I hate her. I love her, I hate her, because right out of the oven is my favorite, but I've eaten them right out of the freezer. And, you know, it's a whole different experience, texture-wise, of course, but, well. Gift-giving. And, you know, it's often said that we eat with our eyes. And when I look at some of the pictures, and whether it's a simple tin of cookies, and the tin is the feature, or, let me find that one picture. The versatile and delicious sugar cookies. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Did you paint those in the picture?
Yes. And painted them with a little bit of vodka and food coloring.
And that's something.
So, yeah, that's a definitely takes time.
Yeah.
They're just as good if you don't paint them. They're just as good if you dip them in a royal icing, and they're fine that way as well. But for the book, I decided to do something artistic with the cookies. And you know, a lot of people love painting. And painting on a cookie is just a nice canvas. And believe me, through meeting people through this book, a woman who was 90 years old came up to me, and she had a framed, painted cookie. And it was 50 years old. And it was a very intricate country design. And I was shocked. But also, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous painting on this cookie. And yes, I guess you can do that and preserve them. I wouldn't try it, but, you know, it was interesting that people have done that.
Well,
so, you know, it's nice to give cookies away in interesting boxes that you can find in Bulk Barn or dollar stores. Or I ordered a whole lot of hat boxes. A legal firm wanted to give away Christmas presents, and it was last minute, and I needed 500 gift boxes. And I got hat boxes, and fuchsia pink, actually, on the cover of my book, is those cookies are in a hat box. And they were just cardboard hat boxes in different sizes, but they made a beautiful gift.
Yeah, that's so cool. My wife is known as the Pie Queen for our local PBS channel. She did not only a video documentary, but she put together a pie cookbook that was recipes and stories from all the places in South Central Kansas that are notorious for making pies.
Have to send me a book.
Oh, what, you did you do a pie book?
Well, I've got pies in my book, but it's not a pie book, and I'd love to read hers.
I'll see if I can get you one. They're in short supply. I think the PBS hasn't made the third reprint, yes. But, you know, she ordered... You mentioned the cake, the hat boxes as a gift-giving idea. She ordered pie boxes. You know, they come flat. You just open them up, and yeah. What a great way to give pies away. But I got a couple recipes I want to chat about, but we need to take one more quick break. I'm so glad you're with us today, Gail Sweeney, and I love Let's Bake. And, folks, this would be a perfect book for your friends that are maybe not the experienced baker, or even if they are. But for people that want to come up with creative gift ideas instead of a tie or a shirt, bake them something. It's a lot better than that. We'll be right back after this break. And don't forget, we're going to give away a copy of the book after this next segment. And I got a great wine of the week that would be kind of fun with, like, the sugar cookie recipe in the book. We'll be right back.